Special Edition Show. This is your host, Tracy Mahan, and I have had an eventful day, and I'm so, so grateful for Lizanne Flynn for coming in today and saving the day for me. We were going to be talking about fairies last week, and then the power cut us out. I still don't know what happened to the power, but 1,700 people were out of power last week. And then we rescheduled for this week with Julia, and then she ended up having to make some other arrangements and couldn't quite make the show. So Lizanne stepped in, and I am so excited. So let me tell you a little bit about Lizanne. You guys, if you've listened to the show before, you know I've had her on as an animal communicator. And we've, you know, there's such a broad spectrum here with Lizanne because she does it all. She's a Reiki master. She's does canine massage, a journey facilitator, self-healing. She works with all walks of life, all energy forms in our reality. And so there just really is no limit to Lizanne. There's the introduction. Lizanne, come on in. Let's talk about all
Of course, this is the fairies behind everything, because as I was saying to Tracy, I was supposed to be on another internet radio show last Thursday, and that kind of fell through. And I just happened to be on Facebook when she posted. She's just like, do we have anybody who wants to talk about fairies tonight? And I felt that light energy come in. I'm just like, pick me. I'm your girl. I love talking about fairies.
Yes. Well, and I love talking about fairies too, but I feel like I shared so much of my stuff in the few minutes we had last week that it's like, they don't want to hear me again. It's okay. This will be great.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
There's so many things to share about fairies, and you know, I know that the audience was pretty disappointed last week when we couldn't finish the show. So I'm really excited to be able to bring it back. And I just want to jump real quick into my chat room here. And if you would like to join us in the Facebook chat, you go over to Facebook and go to Heart and Soul Radio Chat and ask to join the group. If you are a friend, I have the chat room page link on the banner that's advertising the show for tonight. If you're in Blog Talk Chat, I didn't open that properly, so I'm opening it now. One day I will learn and I'll be on top of that. So just want to say hello to a few people that are already there in the chat room, saying hi to Chris and Elizabeth and Julia and Beth and Mindy and Tina, Shauna, Casey, Karen, Carly. I'm not sure how to say this one. D-N-E-A. How do you say that? Danae? Is that right? And Terry. So sorry if I butchered your name. I'm bad at that. But I'm owning it. So, okay, Lizanne, we've got fairies that want to play. They're up to wonderful things today and orchestrating this. They like doing things a little last minute, I take it.
You know, as I posted on Facebook just a little bit ago, as you and I were talking, it was most definitely about, yes, fairies, we typically think of them, I think, as being sweetness and light and little miniature bodies and, you know, lightness and sparkles and things like that. But there's a little bit of a pinch. There's a little bit of a poke, I think, that fairies like to do every once in a while. And I think deliberately kind of keep us on our toes, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that's kind of what this is about myself. Right? Don't you think? I mean, it's just like, okay, are you paying attention? Are you grounded? And again, we typically think of them being kind of ethereal and stuff. But, I think those fairies, because of course, as you and I talked, others are coming in. I think those fairies, they're very elemental. They're about the earth. They're about water. They're about air. They're about fire. They are most definitely earth. And so you might not think of them as being earth-centered, but I think they actually are.
Yeah, I'm laughing at Elizabeth. She says, we all know Tinkerbell had a mean streak.
Oh, well, gosh, that's a classic example, Elizabeth, because it is true. I mean, again, they don't let their diminutive size fool you. Like I said, I think they're meant to kind of keep us pretty firmly on our path, and you put a little toe outside of there or stray too far, they're gonna pull you back in a pretty direct way, right?
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
And they can come across as being little stinkers. You know, I used to work retail, and part of the job of retail is what they call facing the shelves, bringing the product to the front and make sure the label's out and all of that. And mm-hmm. I swear, I used to just refer to this energy as Henri, as in Henri, because I would face shelves and I swear there was a little, so quote unquote, Tinkerbell knocking it all back down like dominoes. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, this cannot be happening again. And it would happen throughout that. And we'd have to spend like an hour facing it at the end of the day, you know, and everybody would go out and do that. And then sure enough, everything I'd pull forward would fall down. I'm like, it can't just be me. There's gotta be somebody messing with me. So yes, that is my theory.
Yeah.
That it's,
ornery.
One of them.
I think
keeping my humor.
Yes, ornery. And again, but don't you think, Tracy? Don't you think there's a purpose? I mean, I mean, for instance, in the shelves, and you would think, well, okay, so I want these shelves to be great, etc. But even just in the task of doing those shelves, that calls for mindfulness, and it calls for awareness, and it calls for setting them upright, and it calls for it to look pretty and to be a representative of whatever retail space you were into. I mean, I think that feels grounding to me. It does.
Yeah. Well, and you know what, it also, you know, it's one of those jobs that it is a little bit mindless where, you know, it becomes automatic. You just pull things forward and face them up and make sure labels are out, right? So you're going through each shelf, each aisle, each product and doing that. And so, you know, I'd probably wander off in my mind. So I think it was a way to keep me in the moment. And
absolutely.
It would make me laugh eventually after getting a little, you know, pissy about it, but eventually go, this is just too dumb to be real. Come on. So, yeah. I think that they do that kind of stuff with us. They absolutely, you know, I have a friend who has created a fairy utopia in her backyard with crystals, and she went out and got like these little, she found this one little thing that looks like a little travel trailer, and she set up a little table and chairs, and anyway, she's gone in all the little bushes and stuff and made these little houses and created this little fairy town in her backyard, but you can't see it if you just walk in her backyard. It's all hidden. And she had me walk in her backyard, and she goes, so where are you drawn to? I said, well, for some reason, I'm drawn to this bush right over here. And so then she walks over and she pulls the bush apart, and that's where I saw the little camp trailer thing and the little tables and chairs and stuff. And she had just so many little things and crystals and stuff set up in there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. And you could feel them in there just loving it and just totally enjoying her backyard. So is that common for them to participate in stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think they're happy to, you know, what I'm hearing is that you may think that we live in trees and, you know, that we're pretty rural dwellers. And while we like nature around us, they're also being very clear that this does not mean that they have to do it, that they're not going to want to do it high class by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, think about, you know, the parties that they hold. They can often be quite elaborate. They can have mounds of different kinds of tea and mounds of different kinds of china there and all sorts of wonderful things to eat, and they send out invitations to everybody and all that sort of a thing. And again, we sometimes perceive them to be in a different way, but as you've experienced, that's why they come in through that little bit of a poke to kind of say, okay, I think you need to take a second look here. And I thoroughly enjoy that dichotomy because, again, we perceive them as being very light and ethereal as compared with, I don't know. All right, so for whatever reason, say, for instance, rhinoceros. And I know that they're doing that to be funny because, of course, the difference between rhinoceros and fairy is astronomical, both physically, energy, et cetera. But it definitely is kind of their way, again, of bringing that elemental energy in. And they, again, I think they love it if somebody wants to build them a little house and to have those sorts of things. I think that's perfect for them. Perfect.
Yeah. I love it. And, you know, I watched and this is kind of a sad ending to the show. Nobody got hurt or anything, but like this family, they would go into the park at night and this went around Facebook. So you may have seen this one, but they would spend time building these little houses for the fairies. And then they'd go into the park at night and they'd set up a tree with the little house or the doorway or, you know, put little windows. So it looks like the tree is the house and, you know, just fixed it all up. And every night they'd go out and do something in this little park. And pretty soon people started going to that park because it was set up for fairies. And eventually the park people made them take it down. But, it was so cute. And there was, I believe one of the family members, one of their family members passed, and that's what they were doing and to honor them is to create this little fairy utopia park, you know, and that was what they were doing to move through their grieving. And so anyway, it was a beautiful story and they made all these amazing little buildings and trees and stuff like that. And then the park made them take it down, which was so sad because it was so cute and people were actually going there to be in that experience. But, you know, not everybody's where we are. So.
Well, and you know what? It's interesting because I'm getting from the fairies that there I can see this is hilarious. One, she looks like she's wearing this little purplish tutu thing. She's kind of kicking her little mini size boots in the dust and kind of has her hands on her hips, thinking like a little like Tinkerbell, you know, Tinkerbell with Elizabeth said having a little bit of a mean streak.
Right.
They would call that honest, by the way, Elizabeth, not mean, just simply honest. I would not be at all surprised if whoever those Parks and Rec people were who felt that they had to move in a different direction did not have some future run-ins with the fairies because, again, for their small size, they don't take any stuff from
They
people,
have big energy,
right?
Yeah.
They do, and they are completely capable, I think, of standing up for themselves and punching back where they feel like they need to punch back.
So now that we got the fairies punching, I love it. I'm seeing them with these little boxing gloves on. Like, sorry,
exactly.
My mind just stopped with
yes.
that. But what's one of your favorite fairy stories to tell?
Oh, my gosh. Well, when you and I were messaging back and forth just about an hour ago on Facebook, I remembered when I was doing my own radio show. And I thought, yeah, you know, animals, it's wonderful. They're fabulous. It's great. I think we need a little bit of a change of pace. And so I thought, let's do a show. I think we called in dragons first. And it was a huge response. The dragons were just like, oh, thank you so much for calling us in. And then we did mermaids. And I think myself, I got a little poke from the fairies, just like, what are we, chopped liver? Why are you leaving us for the last part of this? I think we did then a show on unicorns. I just enjoy, again, the wide range of their bright, sparkly energy and their exact, very definite groundedness that I think makes them the perfect energy to work with. I think that, and especially, I don't think it's necessarily contacting them They like to be invited, by the way. They also do not suffer fools gladly. So this is, I think, as far as a guide goes on Earth, they require, I think, a little bit more of a direct interaction than what most of us might think about guides. You know, we think about guides, Tracy, we tend to get, again, kind of a little bit of ethereal and a little bit of other dimensional sort of a thing. Well, fairies are not that. I mean, you turn to the side and there's your best friend, the fairy, and you turn to the other side and there's her best friend, the fairy. And then across the way, you might have little fairy babies and you have a whole fairy community as your friend honored them underneath her tree. Really quite close to us. But I think it's wonderful because, again, it keeps us connected to that physical form. It keeps us from getting, as the fairies would put it so well, frankly, from their point of view, too high and mighty.
I'm still stuck on fairy babies. I'm like, oh, fairy babies, that would have to be
fairy babies.
Cute.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Fairy babies. They're just, yes. And again, they're like, what? You don't think we don't have lives exactly like you do? We have whole communities. And they say, for some of you, we're hidden. For others of you, we are very, very alive. And I honestly think, like most of the other elementals on planet Earth, they love it when we connect with them. They just love it. They do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Elizabeth went and found that story I was talking about, and she put it in the Facebook chat room.
Oh,
so again, if you're listening and you want to know how to get to that, you go to Facebook, and then you go to Heart and Soul Radio Chat and ask to join the group, and we'll get you in there. It is a private group just for the fact that way it just stays amongst us, and it's not public. So whatever you're chatting in there stays in the group, and you know, you don't have to worry about your family members going, why is this fairy conversation popping up in your feed? So anyways, it's just a way to keep it with us. And Linda, of course, is in there freaking out about the fairy babies too. We just got to find some fairy baby pictures now. So Elizabeth, there's your next task. Find us some fairy baby pictures. I just got a new puppy, so I want to know, how did the fairies interact with the animals?
Well, they love them. They say they're just like us. They say, you know, when you see animals playing, very often you think, you know, and the animals in the wild, domesticated animals, any animals playing, chances are there's a fairy nearby that's inviting them to play. Again, and that's, oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Tracy, because that's a perfect picture of what that energy looks like.
I'm segueing both of your little talents here. I'm like, in the animals
no,
and bringing in the fairies.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to us it looks like, you know, you see a dog chase its tail or a cat or you see a goat or a sheep, you know, kick up their heels. We kind of, you know, kind of laugh and think, oh, ho, 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 especially adults.
They're being so cute.
Well,
they're
exactly, so cute. But then we also think that they're might being silly. But if you look at that moment, that is the joy. That is the effervescent joy that animals do so well. And fairies say, yeah, they say we come in and we invite them to play, and usually they're very happy to play. They have no fear of fairies, again, because they're elemental, and so they're pretty much one and the same. You see, there was a little video of a baby elephant chasing birds down the road, and the fairies just like, who do you think asked the birds to start playing with the elephant? Who do you think whispered in the elephant's ear, hey, wouldn't you like to play with some of those birds? They're everywhere. Mm. They're really, again, for their small size, they're actually quite powerful, I think.
Yeah. That's fun. Okay, we got one fairy baby in the chat room with little red hair. Elizabeth, oh, I love the ginger hair. She's a sweet little baby. It's up a little ways. It ended up being under another post on the feed. So if you're missing it, just go up and open up the pictures there. But no, you know, these fairies, I think they often help us with knowing what our animals need too. And, you know,
yep.
I think I've probably told you how many critters I have around my house. And there's definitely, there's a large amount of critters that I keep here. So one day, you know, I was hearing the birds chirping, and they're upstairs in one of the rooms. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they need water. And I walked up there, and sure enough, their water was like almost gone. And, you know, they had pooped in it and everything else. And I needed to switch out their water. This is when you have teenage boys that take care of animals, you know, they mean well, they just might not remember to look every day. So anyways, you know, and to me, it feels like there was something there giving me that message. And I always think the fairies help us keep track of those things. You know, it's, you know, when the animals need something, they're tapping on our shoulder and pointing us in the right direction. So
they always are.
I love them. Yeah.
Absolutely. They always are. Oh my gosh. That's an adorable picture. Just adorable.
All right, really, now you got to explain. You can't just say that on radio.
Oh, it's this little teensy tiny, like maybe the size of like your middle finger, all curled up. The wings look very fresh, the little pointy ears. Think Anne Geddes. I hope I pronounced her name right.
Yeah.
And those beautiful infant pictures that she does of the babies in the middle of flowers, in the middle of usually parts of nature, and then just add a pair of wings and a couple of pointy ears. And that's exactly what these beautiful
little
fairy look like.
Yeah, they're so cute.
And I love, they are, and I love what you said about the little pokes that they give us. Again, they're so concerned with the physical realm. They're quite adept, I think, at having, you know, one wing, one foot, and the other wing in one dimension, and the other wing and the other foot in the other dimension. They're very unique that way. And I think, you know, for all of us, especially right now on planet Earth, those tethers between dimensions are getting to be a little bit thin. I think the fairies are superb guides at this point in time to go, how do you manage to stay so light and yet still stay so connected with Earth? I think that's an excellent question for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they're teaching us through their frustrations. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
they look at us, and what they're saying to me is they're kind of like, they are making a bit fun of our size. They're saying, you know, the human form is wonderful and great, but they're just like, let's face it, you are a lot more gravity bound than we are. And truly because of, for the most of us adults anyway, physical body mass. I mean, we do have gravity on Earth. We are very connected that way. They do not have those same sort of limitations, which, again, I think make them the perfect partner if you're wanting to connect with upper realms a little bit, but again, at the same time, stay grounded to Earth, because we don't want anybody sliding off. That's for sure.
No. Oh, Debbie posted one too. Look at the one with the little lavender hair. Oh,
she's
so cute.
Adorable. And she's got like this little tutu on. And again, she looks very peaceful and just very quite asleep, and flowers in her hair. She's adorable.
Very petite. Yeah. Now that we've got our fairy baby, we're so hilarious. We're such moms.
Oh,
goo-goo over the baby fairies. Oh my gosh. That made me forget my question. Oh, I know what it is. Like, if you wanted to work with fairies, if somebody out there is new to this and they wanted to start working with fairies, what might you suggest they start with to just kind of get the feel for the fairies?
I'm hearing from the fairies a good idea, an excellent entry is to start with flowers, and specifically flower petals. And two, so rather than the whole flower itself, so get yourself a bag of or a collection of different kind of petals, and they're asking to, it's a very visceral thing. They're saying feel the softness of the petals, feel how strong the petals are and yet how unbearably, almost unbearably light the petals are. Notice the colors of the petals of the flowers that you have in front of you. And they're saying as an entryway, just kind of feel yourself, you know how when you look at something and your vision goes a little bit blurry if you're just kind of staring at it for a period of time and not blinking. They're saying they would invite you to do that, and they would just say concentrate on that lightness of being, but at the same time you're concentrating on something that is very much from planet Earth and very alive and very real, which are flower petals. And so, and they're saying just kind of feel yourself enveloped by those flower petals. And they're saying pretty soon, it won't be long before you'll feel one perched on your shoulder. They're very light. She might or he might bend your ear over in order to whisper in it. You might feel a little bit of a tickle in your ear. You might feel a slight breeze across your face when the wind in the woods comes by and just kind of gently caresses your brow. This is meant to be, I think, a very sensory and sensual experience. Again, really different than going up and out, like if you were to connect with angelic realm or other guides in other dimensions. This is most definitely about using this third dimension to kind of step into their realm that way.
Wow, I love that.
Can you feel that? I mean, I can feel that. I mean, I can see the petals in front of me. I can see the pinks and the purples and a little bit of yellows and some smaller white ones. I can feel the texture and how just fabulously soft they are. And then it just kind of fades, and I just feel myself surrounded by these flower petals.
I love it. You know what? I need them to come help me work in my yard and make it all pretty like that.
Like in a fairy garden?
I'm like, tell me when to water my yard, because I'm definitely not getting it right. It's still a little bit on the sad side.
Well, they would say, not dissimilar to the retail, here comes the poke, a little bit of a pinch. They would say this is about groundedness. This is about awareness. Mm-hmm. This is about putting your feet in the grass, looking at the plants, entering into conversation and saying, what do you need from me? How often do I need to water you? Are you thirsty today? Do I need to wait another day? You know, sometimes I think we get so, as adults, human adults, we get so in our heads. And I think it's a byproduct of our culture and how we see our lives. But, oh my gosh, I think just taking a second to just talk to the plants and say, what do you need from me? Am I doing too much? Do you like where you're planted? What can I do with you? And I'm hearing, actually, Tracy, even just having you sit with them and enjoy them.
You know, it makes a lot of sense because, gosh, this is years ago. It must have been 15 or even more years ago. And we put some new windows in the house that we were living in at the time, and one of them was a plant window in front of the kitchen sink. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I need my grandma here, because she loved plants, but I look at them and I either overwater them, I underwater them. So anyways, I got this plant. Somebody told me it was hard to kill. So I was like, that's for me. So I get this plant. And I swear to God, it would tell me when it needed water. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I was very in tune with that plant, and it grew, and it was one of those, see, I don't even know what kind of plant it was, but it definitely just kept growing and weaving its way through a lot of different things and became very full and beautiful. And I don't know whatever happened to that one, but I do know that I didn't kill it. So I'm like, I get it. I do get that they will talk to you. But you know what? You're right. I'll go outside every day, every morning, and put my feet in the grass. But you're right, I haven't been asking the plants what they need. So I will start doing that.
And would you do you perceive it's true that maybe you're looking at the yard as a task instead of a relationship?
I'll tell you what I'm looking at the yard as. You ready?
Lay it on.
I'm looking at the yard as this place where I release four dogs to have their bathroom break. So.
Okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I try to keep up on making sure that, you know, if they are going,
gotcha,
and they go clean it up and keep it clean that way and stuff like that. And I do that every day. But yeah, that is the backyard is where the animals will go, and that's their bathroom. So I go back there and I'll water plants and stuff while they're out running around doing their thing. And then I'll go clean up after them when they're done. So yeah, there's probably some task to that. I would say.
The front yard,
I have a homeowners association. So with that one, it's very tasky too, because it's like, I don't want to get one of those cranky letters.
I'm always looking at it like that. Yeah. And so the fairies would say, if you relax a little bit more and let us lead you, they would love to be able to turn either your front or your backyard or even just a corner in each into an oasis for you, to where you don't feel chained to it, to where you don't feel tied to it, to where you don't feel like, oh, God, this is just something else I have to do in my already really, really busy life.
Yeah. So,
and they're actually even inviting you. And if your friend is available, I would invite you to ask her to come over and create fairy space for you.
I will ask. She's been giving me crystals. That was the other thing that I wanted to ask you.
What is
the connection with the fairies and the crystals? Because she has been gifting me lots of crystals. And then she said, are you keeping those all in your office? You need to spread them out. And I was like, you know, I really would like to create this little thing that she's doing with her yard. So talk to me about the crystal connection.
Well, and I think it's because they're elemental. It's because they come directly from the earth itself, herself, that the fairies are saying it doesn't really matter whether it's precious, semi-precious, quartz, a river rock. Everything that is connected with those, with the elements, earth, air, fire, and water, according to the fairies, is sacred. And so with the spreading the crystals around, they look at it as dropping jewels for them and giving them gifts and wonderful things for them to be able to find and to have adorn their landscape. I mean, the really interesting thing is that I think they look at all of the earth as being their living room. And so anything of beauty, of joy that you put out there for them to enjoy, that just creates a stronger bond between you and fairy.
Yeah. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
all right,
gosh.
You guys, we all have to go out and create stronger bonds with our fairy friends.
Yes, and truly that all of that elemental stuff, the same thing would be true with feathers, Tracy, I'm getting, with crystals, with anything that is of the earth, plant material, clay pots with little, you could get clay pots and put, for all they're saying, you could put plastic flowers in there, and if you put a crystal in the bottom of it, they frankly would be very happy with that.
They're working with me. I love it.
They are. I'm absolutely serious with you. They're saying it only matters if it is.
I'm just laughing because I'm like, it's so precious. Oh, poor
if
Tracy.
If it is pleasing to you, they say, then it will be pleasing to us. This is
that.
And I think sometimes in our culture we get into this endless ants world. slightly ceremonial slash religious offering sort of a deal. And I think really associated with belief systems that we came up with on our own, I really think there's a much more direct connection. I know animals have it, and most definitely I think fairies have it. Truly, the crystals, they would love it. If you just went out even tonight or tomorrow morning and they just said, just toss them into the bushes. They don't really care where they're placed, frankly. They just don't care.
Just toss them out there. I'd probably be more methodical about that. I have a question for you because you brought up feathers. And I have to tell you,
yes.
The other day we went in the backyard and my son has a trampoline back there. I say my son. I have three kids, but it's basically his trampoline because nobody else uses it. So he goes out, he gets on the trampoline, he goes, oh, well, who put this here? And it looks like an eagle feather. It is a big, it's a big
really?
Feather. And it was in our fence. It was like somebody had placed it there. And he brought it over to me, and I just kind of added it to my crystals because we don't, you know, it's like, where did that come from? And I know it was some sort of message, but I don't know if I'm too attached to it or what the deal is. I haven't been able to figure out what the feather means. So you
have
bring
you
up
looked
the feather
at
the fairies.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Which, of course, is as everything is meant to be. Do you know if it's an eagle feather?
We looked it up, and it does. It looks like the eagle feathers that I found online. It's a large feather. It's probably 18, 20 inches long.
Wow, that's a big bird.
Yeah. So. No, and it's like, well
and
we have the turkey vultures out here. It could easily be a turkey vulture feather, but I looked that up and it didn't look the same. So I'm going to stick with the eagle feather because I want to.
Well, and it's so interesting. Sure, because it's interesting. The area of the country you're in, you probably would get some eagles up there, right?
Yeah, there are some bald eagles up in my area. There's other areas of Oregon that there's more of them, but we do have a few up here, and we do get sightings of the bald eagle in the area. So it isn't impossible, that's for sure.
And where do you have the feather right now?
I have it sitting in this little goddess. It's a little goddess lady that's holding a pot, and I have the feather with her up in my collection of crystals and. Anyway, she's holding it for me.
Well, and the fairies would say, is it true that your son found the feather?
The one that saw it and grabbed it.
Say again, he was the one who saw it and grabbed it?
Yeah, he was the one that saw it and grabbed it. So, should I be letting him put that in his room?
Well, either in his room or, quite honestly, there's also a feeling of the fairies are saying that actually would make a lovely shelter for us.
Oh, very
as
nice.
You might imagine, that
yeah.
that would you know impervious to rain, all that sort of thing. And they're saying, that's interesting. They're saying we would be happy to share it with you. They're saying like you can attach it to a thing like. I don't know, a little fairy house to the fence with the crystals, what have you. But there's, first of all, there was, I always say to my clients, let me see how I'm going to put this, because I always try to like translate appropriately and not so directly, to be honest with you, to spare feelings. But they're saying, aside from the question of ownership, because it does feel like more your son, because he's the one who found it, but yeah, I think if he wanted to put it outside and attach it to the fence, those sorts of things, I think that would be fine. I do.
Yeah, okay.
I do. Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
I shall figure this out with him and find out what he feels we should do with the feather and go from there. Now, I'm going to say, I keep seeing that Casey is attempting to post in the chat room, and I'm not sure why it's not coming through. So
yeah, I don't either.
Oh, she's trying to post a picture here. I finally got something that came through for her. I'm trying to post a picture, but it's not showing up. All right. Well, it's not supposed to, maybe. So, yeah, Debbie was noticing that, too. I just noticed that she kept popping up, but nothing was ever there. And I'm like, you know, I want to make sure my listeners are getting heard. So,
speaking of,
we do have some callers. So whenever you're ready to take some calls, we do have some callers. And I know that there's a couple questions that are in the chat room as well that we can address some of those questions. So are you ready?
Absolutely. Yes,
ma'am. All right. Let's go with this is a Skype caller. And you're on the air. Who are we talking to?
Hi. My name is Patricia.
Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
Did you have a question for
Patricia?
Patricia?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Yes, I do. By the way, I love fairies. I've let my whole land just become free and wild, and I notice that there's a lot of elementals that are coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, very beautiful. I do have a question, and it's about it's interesting that you're talking about feathers because I found a big black feather in my driveway a few days before my father died.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, another sign, a little bird had died in my I found a dead bird for the first time in my life in my sliding glass door. So I knew something was going to happen.
Sure.
And now I went walking in nature. And there was a little black feather in front of me. So I'm wondering, and you could be very candid, very honest with me. I'm not afraid of anything. I would like to know what the, no, I'm serious. I know everything about life and death, and it's okay. I truly understand. I just want the truth. And I would like to know what the fairies have to say about that, because this is a second black feather that has crossed my path, and that never happens.
Do you find feathers normally, Patricia, and are they normally light-colored?
I found one light-colored one when I first moved to this land. It was about 8 years ago, and at that time when I found it, I believe it was a roadrunner feather, and my life changed. I went through a transformation, and this time when I found this black feather, it's a large black feather. I don't know who it's from, but another change happened. My father died.
Yep.
So, yes, I'm aware that those are signs. And when I went walking in nature, this little black feather, it was a small one, appeared just right in front of my path. I left it there. I didn't pick it up. I just left it. But I would like to know if you have any input on that.
Of course, absolutely. One of the first things that the fairies would say that when the feathers are deliberately on your path like that, and especially if you notice them, they would invite you absolutely by all means to pick them up. That would be the first thing. The second thing, because they're saying they're meant to be gifts. They're meant to be part of the natural shedding process that happens with birds, and it's a lovely feeling that I'm getting of the bird saying, how am I going to put this? Let's sprinkle all this kind of fairy dust everywhere. And so for you, that's taking the form of feathers. I think that big black feather probably was Raven. Raven is definitely about transformation and about change. And it's interesting with this smaller feather, I think sometimes as humans, we sometimes perceive anything that is dark color to be of the shadow. But for you, I'm getting, and we sometimes attach negative meaning to that, like light and shadow, good, evil. We kind of do that whole, you know, back and forth thing. And not that you do that, but I think this shadow is almost about boundaries for you, and it is almost about the beginning of you establishing a good basis of healthy protection and boundaries for yourselves. It feels like that it's this is definitely about being grounded. This is definitely about being centered. It feels like you, especially after these changes that you've gone through, this is a rebirth of sorts that's starting up for you. But not surprisingly, I think for a number of people, just all across the planet right now, and especially given your connection with the Earth herself, this is most definitely about not being fearful of gathering protection for yourself and being very, very, if you will, black and white about your boundaries and about your protection. Does that resonate for you?
Yes, it does, because I've just, after that happened, I set some strong boundaries, and I spoke up to certain people about how they were talking to me, and I did set boundaries around my work that I was not going to be overworked anymore. And
excellent.
I'm going to allow certain people to talk to me in an abusive
excellent.
Way. Yes, yeah, so that does
make
sense.
That's so perfect. And again, the fairies are saying don't hesitate to pick up those feathers, because when you set those boundaries, then those feathers will serve as talismans to be very physical reminders of your feet firmly planted on the ground, the sustenance that comes to you from Mother Earth, and the boundaries that are very, very appropriate for you to be setting. Absolutely. It feels so empowering to me, Patricia. Fabulous.
Excellent. Well, I was going to burn these two feathers because I do burn like weeds outside. I'm allowed to do that in my area. And it's sort of like a cleansing thing. I really don't want to keep these feathers. I would either want to put them back into nature or burn them. Is that appropriate?
I wouldn't, if you're not wanting to keep them, I would invite you to put them back in nature. Because
okay.
typically with the burning, what I usually think of is cleansing. And what we want to do is actually make sure that these feathers stick to you, if you will. And so, right? And so I would invite you to put them back in nature if you're not comfortable keeping them. I actually have a whole collection of feathers inside the visor of my car because I usually find them when I'm out walking. And so anybody getting into my car will see probably, I don't know, I bet you there's probably like 10 or 15 feathers in there right now.
Yeah.
But whatever you feel comfortable with, but definitely returning them to nature, that completes the cycle in a very beautiful way.
I might actually bury them or just
leave
them there.
Oh, that's great as well.
Because I just don't like to keep stuff, and I feel like releasing them is going to release a certain part of me back to nature. I love nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just going to ask about that. Whenever I'm ready to release. I didn't pick the other one up only because I just left it into nature.
Sure, and
I
think
thought,
that's fine to do as well.
I just saw, I got the message, and I just
good.
Left it there. Okay.
Wonderful. Thanks so
well,
much for calling in.
I appreciate your message. Thank you.
Thank
You're
you,
very
Patricia.
Welcome.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, do you want to grab Elizabeth in the chat room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And the question, and it's so funny, isn't it, Tracy, although not really. Tracy and I, just before we went on air, we were talking about gnomes.
Yeah, we were. We love them.
We do, and I love the movie as well, Elizabeth Amelie. That's one
yeah.
of my most favorite movies ever. I love that movie. It's magical.
Yeah.
I think The fairies are being very clear.
Oh, sorry.
Are gnomes in the same realm as fairies? Do they get along? Have to ask because I've been drawn to them since I first saw the movie Amelie.
Yes.
The fairies are being pretty clear that gnomes are relatively distant cousins. And again, you know, the thing with fairies, there is a bit of an attitude, and I think it's well-deserved, but they're being very clear about the fact that, yes, gnomes are, they're saying to me, how am I going to put this? It's like they're at the opposite end of the spectrum, but still related to the fairies. And so typically gnomes and fairies don't interact together. Gnomes pretty much stay with gnomes. Fairies pretty much stay with fairies. They are aware of each other. The fairies are saying to me that when they have hard physical work to get done, they will call on the gnomes. As you might imagine, that the gnomes would be able to lift and schlep and carry and things like that, and the fairies would have a more difficult time of doing that. And the gnomes are saying to me that where the fairies kind of like to flit about, the gnomes pretty much, it's interesting, it's not that they're being funny, they're saying it's not that we don't know how to have a good time, but for us a good time might be lighting a fire, getting together a group of gnomes with our instruments and playing along with, as they would say it, the tune of the woods, which would be the wind that whistles through the trees, and drinking perhaps, you might imagine, some grog or some lager or some mead. But again, their energy is definitely earth-centered, and they tend to be probably a little bit less concerned, I think, with the affairs of humans than fairies do. I think they're more servants of the earth, if you will.
Yeah. And I think they all get mad when we cut down a tree. But there it is. So.
No, I absolutely agree. Again, they're servants of the forest. They're guardians of the forest. They do not, you know, yes. Oh, my gosh, that's a whole other discussion, right?
Isn't it?
But yes, it is.
Yeah, we won't go there. Well, let me bring on another caller, and then we'll grab another one out of the chat room. How about that?
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, hold on here. Caller with the last four digits, 0073, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello. How are you today?
Doing good. Who are you? Who are we talking to? Who are you? I love it.
Okay.
The fairies are messing with me. I blame the fairies.
Oh, wow. My name is Stacy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Stacy, you said?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll let Lizanne take over as I'm so graceful here.
Okay.
How are you, Stacy?
I'm doing good. Yourself. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Playing with the fairies, it's a wonderful thing to do.
Oh, okay, I see. And I'm here, I'm listening to it. So I'm calling, I have a question. I have to do I have to go to housing court on Thursday. And I would like to know if my guides want me to proceed with the case Thursday, or should I try to get an extension?
And you said, I'm sorry, you said you had to go to court? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I'm going to court. Yeah, I'm going to court because I have a landlord. I was living in, she rented me an illegal apartment, a basement apartment, unbeknownst to
gosh.
Me. So right now, we're in court. So we're going to court on Thursday. And my question is, should I ask the judge for an extension, for example, to come back because I have to serve her some additional papers, or should I just go ahead and proceed with everything on Thursday?
No, and the fairies, Stacy, are being very clear. They would say never proceed unless you're fully prepared. And so
that's what
they
I'm thinking.
Would. Absolutely. I think your instincts are right on target with that. They're saying.
Okay.
It would be very important to get all the papers in a row to have as complete of a picture to present to the judge as possible. And they're saying, don't let anybody hurry you on this.
Okay.
Is,
all right.
And I can kind of feel the landlord chomping at the bit a little bit. Don't let her hurry you. Don't let her intimidate you that way. No, absolutely not.
Okay. Yep, okay, absolutely. So I'll just speak to the judge on Thursday. Hopefully I should be able to get that extension. All right.
Good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Stacey.
Thank you.
You have
a
good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And then before I go to having you do another question in the chat room, if you are a caller and you're waiting on hold and you have a question, press the number 1 so I know you have a question. Otherwise, it just shows that you're listening to the show. So if you are calling and you have a question, press the number 1 so I do know that you are waiting to have me come find you. Okay, next question. Beth is in the chat room with a question. You see that one?
I do. Beth says, about 15 minutes ago while listening to the program, I felt pressure on my face. I looked in the mirror and saw a slight dent in my cheek and 2 different times, and when I went to take a picture, it disappeared. I'm not sure if it was a fairy or a guide. Oh, that's fairy. That's completely and totally fairy, Beth. That's their, you might imagine, and it's so funny, it might have happened when we were talking about connecting with the fairies. If you were particularly in that place and thinking about even just pictures of flower petals and what they felt like and all that. And I mentioned that a fairy could come and sit on your shoulder. That's absolutely them. You might imagine kind of leaning in and kind of resting a shoulder against your cheek. There might have been just like a little nudge, maybe even to putting a hand on either side of your face as if to get your attention. Again, the ever so slight mischievous nature of fairies cannot be overstated. Again, we tend to think of guides, I think, as being very high-minded and very pure and will not ever do any wrong. Fairies are not that. Fairies are, again, slightly mischievous. And so most definitely, and especially when you went to take a picture, they're going to say, I'm hearing a little, a very high-pitched laughter, and I'm hearing a catch us if you can kind of a thing. So keep it up, Beth. That sounds like you have a good connection with the fairies, and they're making themselves quite known to you. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I like that. That's fun. Keep playing with them. All right.
Yes.
Go grab another caller here. I've got caller with the last 4 digits, 3774. Hopefully you're on the air. There we go. You're on the air. And who are you?
Hi, my name is Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Good. I didn't know if I could ask like a love question or if I had to ask about feathers or I wasn't sure.
No, I think the fairies like love questions.
They do.
I'm
like
sorry?
Love questions. They
fairies
do like
love questions,
questions. Tracy said.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I can ask that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm supposed to go on a blind date with a gentleman that begins with the letter M tomorrow, and then another blind date. Both friends have set me up with these people, men, and one on Friday that begins with a D. What, do you see anything working out? I'm being positive.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It feels like M has more weight, Suzanne. How am I going to put this? More weight emotionally, and I'm hearing more compatibility for you. At the same time, D could turn out to be a little bit of a sleeper, meaning not in a boring way, but in a he seems to be pretty nice. Not really sure of that, but it's like sometimes it's one of those things where the things that we perceive, at least initially, was just like, well, I'm not too terribly impressed with this person. They kind of grow on you. They both seem to be, M definitely I think is going to press a little bit harder to get something going with you. D, I think, is going to be perhaps by contrast a little bit sitting back and just kind of waiting to see how things develop. I would invite you to just really pay attention to how you perceive their energy. Everything in life is energy. It all depends upon whether your particular vibration and frequency is a match for their vibration and frequency. I think we sometimes make it a lot more complex than it needs to be.
it was weird. But like, you were right, the M person, but then we were texting and then he just stopped texting. I don't know if he went to sleep or had a phone call or whatever just now. He was like, oh, you want to get together tomorrow? And I'm like, sure. And the other one's like, oh, I'll call you Wednesday or Thursday to see if we can get together Friday.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
They're both cute,
again.
I think. I saw a picture of M, but I didn't see a picture of D.
Right. M, and that's interesting because, again, perhaps the universe's way of saying, especially where D is concerned, it doesn't mean that you're not meant to be physically attracted, but sometimes that takes a little while to build based on the person underneath. And M, frankly, feels ever so slightly player-ish to me.
Oh, no. M is player-ish?
It does, just ever so slightly. Ever so slightly. I get the feeling like he's juggling, I'll just say it, juggling women.
I want to choose one of them. I don't want to have to start all over.
Right. Right. No, absolutely. But again, this is where your guides are saying it's important to trust yourself, to resonate with the energy, and to look beyond what is initially presented to you. That's where you're going to find the energy. Don't be distracted by the flash and the bling.
So you have no idea which one it's going to be?
As far as long-term goes?
Yeah.
There are times when, and I'm sure Tracy would attest to this, I hope she would, where it's almost like your guides say, no, you're giving out too much information. And the one thing that I know they are so particular about is free will. Oof. They're really funny about free will on this planet.
You think it'll be one of them?
I do. Absolutely, I do.
Oh.
Yep, I do.
Okay. Can I ask a really quick question about work, really, really quick? I'm working as a teacher aide right now for a school.
Sweetie, I have a whole bunch of callers, and I can't have you ask more than one question. Sorry. All right.
Okay, I'll call next weekend.
Hopefully that helped you with the guys. Okay.
Okay.
Call Wednesday morning. Cherry and I are doing a show Wednesday morning.
Oh, I work in the mornings.
Okay. Well, next week then. All right, sweetie. Okay. Have a good day.
Thank
you. Good luck. Bye-bye. Okay, so we're going to jump back over to Debbie in the chat room. She's got a dragon question, and of course I love dragons, so I can't wait.
I do too. I have to tell you, there have been so many times. And by the way, it's interesting, do you see where Melinda posted about your eagle feather? Underneath there, she thinks it absolutely is an eagle feather.
Yeah, it looks just like the one
you posted a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. The plot thickens.
It does.
So Debbie says, I have a question for Lizanne tonight, but it is about a different elemental. You don't care. The fairies are fine, and certainly they're saying to me, we will absolutely make room for the dragons. I don't think that's ever even a question. I had that dragon dream. It gave me a gift. I'm still trying to remember what it was. I put it in my heart. Do either of you know what it might have been? And the question, Debbie, actually from the dragons is, have you asked the dragon? The feeling that I'm getting, either going into meditative state or place or shamanic journey place and to recall that dragon, it feels like it was meant to be a gift, but it was meant to solidify partnership. In other words, dragon is saying to me that, and this feels like male to me, although I could be off base about that. There could be more than one. This was meant to be a piece of them that was meant to be inserted into your heart so as to forge a very strong bond with them. But they're saying it was meant to dissolve with time because, of course, in their consciousness, it's all about the collective and all about unity and not about separateness. I can definitely see the green heart chakra color. If I were to go out on a limb, I would say that it probably would have been a stone like an emerald, which is, again, of course, perfectly attuned to the heart chakra. But there's still a feeling of they would invite you to take your relationship with them a step further. I don't know if you've gone for, okay, she said yes and got several answers in yes mail. I don't know if you have gone for a ride on them yet. They're saying, yes, we're tall and yes, we go very fast, but they're inviting you to not be afraid about that. And I'm just getting this lovely, immense heart warmth all across the upper part of my chest. That is meant to be your bond and your partnership with Dragon, Debbie. And I think, like for a lot of us, and speaking mostly just for myself, oh my goodness, in the last 6 months, Dragon has been positively, absolutely instrumental in keeping me grounded. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've felt myself just kind of, well, earth schmirth, I don't think I need to stay here anymore, and kind of getting pulled up and out. And I'll feel this great big huge tail come in and kind of wrap around me, and the thorny spike come around and put itself through not my body, but some article of clothing that I'm wearing. And then I'm conscious of this dragon just wrapping its fabulous wings around me. And I know, oh, okay, getting a little light there, need to bring it back down to earth. So
yeah,
that's
been my experience.
What do you think, Tracy?
Well, that connection you were talking about, that love, that heart-to-heart connection, that's been my experience with dragons as well. And most everybody that, you know, that I've taken on dragon journeys have that connection show up for them. So it's an absolutely fabulous thing. I actually did a dragon journey recording on Learn It Live. And so if anyone wants to take a dragon journey, I do have that available. It is a recording. But anyways, yeah, meeting your dragon is absolutely phenomenal. And my experience is that you were saying they can go fast, don't worry. I've never had any feeling ever that I would fall off or be disconnected from
neither.
A dragon during any of the journeys that I take with them. And they can go fast and they can jump dimensions and they can do all kinds of things. So a dragon is an absolutely fabulous partner in crime when you're doing meditation. So, yeah.
And Debbie is saying that, yes, I have done that too, meaning fly with them and not afraid of them at all. I think this has to do more, Debbie, with, how am I going to put this? The partnership with them, but they're inviting you to take it a step further to where you actually become dragon. That's what it is. And again, that piece, that lovely crystal that they put into your heart chakra was meant to dissolve and meant to, this is lovely. They're saying, meant to have your blood sing exactly the way the blood of a dragon sings. And that's, they mean that very deliberately. And she said, actually, I think I was flying the other night again. Then that's perfect, that you are the dragon and the dragon are you. Okay. And Dragon is saying, Debbie, if you would like to have another representation of your unity with them, you can ask for that and they can gift it to you. They're saying, though, this is less about the external and the gift and hanging on to the gift as it is more about letting go, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Debbie is saying, thank you, Lizanne. Perfect. Well, I appreciate that, Debbie. I don't think that I am, but there you have it.
I also am enjoying Linda's post with the gnomes in there. That's fun. She says that she has a gnome village near her house, and she put some pictures up of the little gnomes, and somebody did a really cute job with that. And one day I'll get to tell my gnome story, but the bottom picture that she posted with the little gnome standing by the tree that has a door and a little sidewalk or a little pathway that goes up to it totally reminds me of my gnome story. And yeah. So gnomes can harass you, by the way. If they don't like what you did, they can do things to disrupt your life just like fairies. And that's what was happening.
They can be even more direct about it. It's so interesting, Tracy. I have to segue again. I'm looking at that eagle feather. What are the indigenous tribes in your area?
Gosh, that's a good question. I might would have to do a little research on that.
So
are you getting a connection with that?
A little bit. And the other thing that's coming in, I do know that for some indigenous peoples, eagle feathers are considered to be sacred. And they are meant, they are not, how am I going to put this? It's not that your son or you is not meant to have it, because clearly you are, but it almost feels like there's meant to be kind of an overarching, dare I say, blessing of the eagle feather. It feels like there's meant to be other information, and your son's energy is coming through quite strongly, meant to be gifted to your son by reaching out to whatever tribe is in that area and to say, we found this in our yard. And it almost feels like perhaps even offering the feather back to them so that they can give it back to you. I mean, because they are, I have understood that to be true, that, for instance, you can't purchase eagle feathers. Aside from the whole endangered protected species bird thing, that they do have definite special meaning for indigenous peoples. So just a thought, if that resonates for you.
Okay, perfect. I took notes. Yeah, we'll play with that. Okay, perfect. Well, I know it's after 7. Are you willing to do another phone reading before we go, or do you need
bet.
To get going?
Absolutely.
All right.
No, absolutely.
Right.
I'm having a blast.
I'm good. I'm so glad. Okay,
as
so I'm going to bring on caller 8679. You're next. And who are we talking to?
Hello, my name is Katie.
Hi, Katie.
So much for taking my call. Hi. I want to thank you. This show has been so fascinating, and I particularly love fairies and been thinking about them recently. So I want to thank you for that, and I'm very grateful to have come across it.
You're very welcome, Katie.
Yeah.
Thank you. My question is, I have one, if you don't mind, related to the topic, and then one personal. Is that okay?
I can.
Sure,
I have several callers, so if we could just do one question, that would be best, so that
okay.
I can get to more people. So.
Sure. No, I understand. I was wondering if you see me finishing my project by the end of this week.
Is this a work project, Katie?
Yes.
And are there other people involved?
There are, but this part of it is on my hands. So
okay.
But there are other people involved, yes. But
finishing
up to give it to them.
Okay. Have things been going smoothly up until this point?
Pretty much. I've been left to my own devices to work, but I, kind of called them to tell them I'm almost done.
Okay.
So,
absolutely. And is there any trepidation on your part about the fact that this is just solely your work product and it's going in to then become part of a group project? Are there any concerns that you have about that?
Yes. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Just being treated fairly. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. And it's so interesting. Not surprisingly, how the universe works. Coincidences abound, although not. Eagle is actually coming in. This is lovely.
Oh wow.
And right, Tracy. We love how this works. I love how this works. Eagle is being very, very clear, Katie. They are saying, this is not the time to be faint of heart. This is not the time to lose your vision. Stand firm in your vision. knowing that you have anticipated and planned perfectly. It could very well be that when you present your part, you're going to have to illuminate the vision that perhaps they don't even see for their part of this project yet. But Eagle is being very clear, do not lose the vision. That is paramount. Absolutely paramount.
I get chills when you say it. Do it one more time.
Yeah, me too.
It's paramount. Don't lose the vision. And again, all you have to do, you become Eagle. You see Eagle. Eagles can see, what is it, a mile to a mile and a half? And from extraordinary distances from the earth, they can see a salmon. They can see a field mouse, a little rabbit, miles beneath them. Your vision is
I'm going to add to that completion of the project. Yeah, I did a meditation one time where I shifted, and the only thing I can think of that, to call it, is shape shifted into an eagle, one that was working with me as a guide, and I shifted into that energy, and I was flying up by a canyon. I knew exactly where my nest or home space was in the canyon. I'm flying over this little ranch that was, you know, our eyes, it would have been a speck. And I could see the chickens in the yard clear as day. And I was up high, and I was just like, well, this is what they mean by eagle vision. It was amazing.
It's phenomenal, and I'm so happy you had that experience. But truly, Katie, just keep that vision. Do not let distractions come in from the side. And if you have to, Eagle is saying, fix them with the eagle glare. And I don't know if you've ever been looked at by an eagle, but don't take any SHIT from them. Absolutely. Fix them with the eagle glare and say, I know the direction we're going. This is the direction we're going. My part is perfect for that. And you might have to wait for them to catch up, but don't lose the vision. That's critical.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That was
you got
beautiful.
This. You're very welcome.
Thank you, Katie. All right. You
Thank
have a good
you.
Night.
God bless you both. Thank you.
Thank
you, Katie.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. So technically we have about 12 minutes left before the show cuts us off. You want to keep going?
Yeah. And I have to say, Tracy, don't you just love it when you become that animal?
Yes. I've done the squirrel before. I have to tell you, I was so surprised. You know, they stuff their little cheeks and stuff. Well, our mouths are full of saliva. So in my mind, I'm just thinking saliva. So I become, you know, I'm this little squirrel, and I'm putting stuff in my cheeks. And I'm literally in my mind being the squirrel going, well, that's dry. Her little cheek pockets are dry, and it never dawned on me that it would be dry, but it makes so much sense. They've got to pack them back and store it. What, they don't want them dripping in saliva, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, the animal journey things are absolutely amazing.
Oh gosh, they're just my most favorite ever, because it's such a treat to be able to even temporarily step out of human form and to experience what that's like, to move so fast, to have the eagle vision, to even have the dry cheeks so that the food doesn't get destroyed and that they can store it. Oh my gosh, it's just fabulous.
I
love it.
I have to tell you, it's even fun to become the tree or the rock. And you guys have, I mean, there's meditations and stuff out there to do it, but definitely it's been one of my favorite journey types of journey. Become the water, become the tree, become the squirrel, become the bird, become, you know, the sky, the air, even to become air. Can you imagine? You are life.
It's fabulous.
To
it's
everything.
Fabulous.
Everything. It was like, wow.
It's so fun. It's so
and then
fun.
You start to go, oh, we are all connected. It's like, yeah. So, all right, let's bring in one more caller here, and then we'll see where we're at. I'm going to go with caller 4415. You are next one. Hello, who are we talking to?
Oh, thank you so much. Hi, Tracy. Hello, Lizanne.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Who's this?
Good, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So who are we talking with?
My name is Anne.
Hi, Anne. Okay,
Hi.
That helps. Okay, thank you. And did you have a question for Lizanne?
Yes, I did. I have a question. I wanted to ask you if you can see a long-term relationship, romantic relationship for me.
Past, present, future. I'm getting future. You're wanting to know about future.
Yeah, that's definitely the,
is that
in
correct?
The future. Yeah, okay. I want to know some if I will have it.
Okay. Have you put to rest, Anne, other relationships that you have been in before? Are there any maybe even unconscious leftover wounds or attachments that you might have to previous relationships? Everybody pretty much clear?
Well, I have friends from the past, but I don't think that they're available. We communicate to them. It's always nice to talk to friends. And, yeah, but I don't think that they're available.
Well, no, but what I meant was, in other words, is your heart open and free and available for a love relationship to come in?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I just didn't meet the right person. Well, some
okay.
people show interest, but unfortunately we don't match.
Okay. All right. I'm getting that there, and the reason why I asked that question was that I'm getting there's a, how am I going to put this? It feels like there is something that, some sort of a barrier that I'm not, would you say that you are completely willing to surrender to the power of love?
Yeah, I just don't have this love in my life at all, but I wish it would come.
Well, but what your guides are saying to me is that I think it's one thing to think about having a partner in your life and having a love interest and understanding the power of love and the transformative nature of that and being willing to surrender to that completely. It feels to a certain extent like you're willing to come up to the halfway point in a relationship and that you want to be met halfway. And at this point, with the vibration and in that frequency, you're probably most likely to attract in a like vibration of someone that's only willing to go halfway with you. Does that make sense? In other words, the relationship just gets to a certain point and it just kind of then evaporates because there's a part of you that's holding back. Does that resonate for you?
Well, I just didn't meet the person that I would just think about this. I met people that I'm not interested to have a long-term attachment.
But when you talk about it in those sorts of terms, a long-term attachment, love itself is coming in and the concept of love, because it's not just a word, it is an actual energy, is saying... Okay, here it is. Love is saying we would invite you to go back to school. We would invite you to understand truly what the concept of love is and divorce that to a certain extent from I want to find a long-term partner, because that tends to be more of a cerebral exercise as opposed to actually becoming love itself. And having that resonate and go out and get for you what is perfect for you. This is not something that you can noodle out and process with the brain.
Hmm. Well, if I feel love for the person, I would probably wouldn't be asking this question, but I just don't have someone like that to love.
Well, but love would say everything, of course, begins with self.
Yeah, I love myself, definitely. I love myself. Again, okay. I met several people. It's just not working out. It's not because of them, because of me. I do not feel that I have much in common with the person.
Well, and so if that was the case, then you could say easily, then that wasn't a vibration for you, and you didn't resonate with that. And that's perfectly okay, I think.
That's the problem. That's why, you know, I keep looking and looking, and not, the right person doesn't come.
So
again, I can only repeat what your guides are saying, which is...
Okay.
There needs to be a grounding in the concept of love and the power of love itself without trying to put it into a specific form.
Yeah. Mm. What I'm going to say here, Anne, real quick, is I keep getting that you're going to get one more teacher and then you'll get more of the relationship you're looking for. There's not a time frame I can give you with that, though. Just one more teacher coming and then you'll find the one that you're looking for. Okay? So don't disregard the relationships that don't look like they fit just right, because that might be the teacher. Okay? So trust your gut, mm-hmm. but don't just, you know, poo-poo somebody. If they keep showing up, there must be a message there, and look for what that might be, okay?
Sure, and definitely. Well, I communicate with them. We stay
yeah.
friends, but we don't have a relationship that I want to have.
Well, this one you'll have a relationship with. So, but I have mm-hmm. to let you go, sweetie. So hopefully that helps
you
out.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
yeah,
you have a good night.
Thank you so much. It did help. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, Lizanne, I want you to tell the world, how do they find you?
Besides being on your show with little notice, that I am delighted, really delighted. Anytime I have to tell you all who's listening, anytime I get to be in Tracy's energy, I'm just like, done. It's a done deal. Absolutely. And
well,
it's
that's
actually,
mutual.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to put it here in the Facebook page and I'm going to write it down. It is just my name, Lizanne, if I can spell my name, LizanneFlynn.com. And if you go there, you will find, oh, and it says Animal Communication, Reiki, and Shamanism. It tells you that I'm in Colorado. I do a lot of distance work. As Tracy does as well, I do shamanic journeying. I accompany people. That's one of my most fun things to do, especially for first timers, to kind of guide them into the different dimensions and keep them company while their guides take them hither and yon. And I'm getting little glimpses of where that hither and yon is. It's very fun. So, yeah, available.
Available.
Contact me.
I love it. You guys would be crazy not to contact Lizanne. She's you've got so many gifts all across the board, and all of you, you're so strong in all the areas. You're the universal girl.
You're so sweet. Thank
so,
you.
Yeah, whatever you guys got, she can handle it. Call her. So, all right, Lizanne. Thank you so much for saving my hiney and sharing that fairy energy with us tonight. That was so much fun. And I know we'll do it again, because how could we not?
Absolutely.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. All right. Wonderful. You guys, LizanneFlynn.com. Go there. Get a reading. And now my puppy's going to chime
you,
in.
Tracy.
I don't know if you guys can hear him. He's under my feet crying. Poor baby. Okay. So we will see you guys again here next week. Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.